And welcome to the December 20th edition of, no, it's not. It's the January 3rd edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I don't know.
Flashback.
What happened there? I had a technology failure because I know I typed that out earlier. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. We have gathered the experts to talk tech today and listen to your thoughts and questions about the tech you received for Christmas. You know, sometimes we get those questions. What is this, sir? How do I hook it up? How do I get the most use out of it? Well, we're interested in helping you get the most from your holiday tech. In the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls from Exigent, Amos Aesop. Hi, Amos.
Hey, Kent.
How's your holidays?
Holidays. You know, it's, and I know this is kind of overdone, but I really am at that point where I just don't know what day it is anymore. You know, having been out of work for a while, you know, on vacation and the holidays, it'll be nice to get back to some semblance of normalcy.
I too have been vacationing, and I got into the office this morning, and I looked at my screen and went, oh, "What's my password?"
Mm-hmm.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
In the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio is Craig Mount from Classy Brain. Hi, Craig.
Hey, what's going on, Kent?
Great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And what day is it again? Because I was just having this conversation with the crew here in Rapid City. We were literally just talking about this.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, as I just announced, it is not December 20th. It is we are into the 2020s now. That's an amazing thing. We've left that decade behind us and launched into the first show of the new decade. So, welcome.
Good to be here.
Yeah,
really excited.
Yep. You've taken a little time off too, and I'm surprised that the emails haven't stacked up as much as they have. I guess I thought I was going to have to scrape off more layers this morning than I actually did. So
I think it's because everybody else is out too.
I think that could be it.
Productivity
Monday,
just must
January
come to
6th. It's all coming,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on today's show, we have some things to talk about, but mainly we want to just kind of open it up to folks. If you have something you got for Christmas and you have a question about it, quite often people do, and you can send us a text, 956-STPB. That's 956-7372. And our phone number is 800-852-0214. Twitter users, you can send questions to me at KentSDPB. And, of course, the most popular way to get a hold of us is the email address, and we bum that off the folks before us. In the moment at sdpb.org is that email address. And go ahead and drop us a note if you would. We'd love to hear from you. Craig, did you get anything cool for Christmas? Anything techie?
Yeah, well, all right, I sure did. And, you know, I kind of took it upon myself. I don't know what I'm walking into here, but I just want to come out and say it. I am an Apple fanboy. I do like Apple products, and I did get a couple iPhone 11s.
A couple?
A couple.
For family, yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
not just for yourself.
Members. Right.
Yeah.
For some family members as well. So,
what's your first impression?
You know, it's like an iPhone 10, I gotta say.
Did you get the Pro?
Which I did have as well. So I got a couple. Yeah, so I did get the Pro and then the entry level one as well. It's kind of funny because the person who sold it to me was actually like the Pro. They did tell me the Pro wasn't worth jumping up to. That was just his opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Not speaking on behalf of everybody else there. But what I can say is the camera. Wow, that camera, it just keeps getting better and better. It's so incredible to me.
Well, that was going to be my question to you. The person that said this isn't worth the jump must not ever take pictures with their phone.
Right. Well, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I have really enjoyed it. From the interface perspective, very similar to the 10. Can't say, I mean, I wouldn't. If you would have told me it was a 10, I don't know if I would have completely known the difference between the two. Not that I'm, you know, like a savant in these products, right? But yeah, you know, part of it is just having the coolest thing, you know, and being able to open something that's new. So that was kind of an element to it as well.
I have the Pixel 4 XL, and so I've been reading the forums on the Pixel 5 coming out. And they're saying it's going to have 5G, and they're basically wagging the finger at Google and saying you better put another camera on this, because the wide angle thing, it's great that you have the 2x and the regular view, but you know, wide angle is the bomb. You better catch up with the Apple on this. So I think it's creating a lot of buzz about setting the bar.
Yeah.
I think it's a bar setting phone. both in price and features.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we still at the $1,000 mark for those devices?
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're the one that bought it.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, the Apple does have like a trade-in program now too, which you can take advantage of if you have, you know, for me, I usually go from device to device. So if I have like a 10, you know, you can trade it in, you get like a $300, $400 credit towards the new one, which really helps. But otherwise, yeah, that price point is about, I think $750 was the entry level one. And then it goes up from there. $1,000 is the pro.
And yeah, I just watch for deals. That's what I ended up doing on my Pixel and traded in a kind of a hunk of junk and got half price. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can just buy them outright anymore, and it's not too terrible.
Don't do what Sonos did. Did you read about that?
Oh boy, yeah.
They have a trade-in program, and of course, I have friends that have these devices, and they are very high-end speakers for listening to internet radio. You know, doing whatever.
As he's an Apple fanboy, I'm a Sonos fanboy. So built my house, I did everything Sonos, as far as audio in every room and surround sound and that sort of stuff, and being able to control it from your phone and your watch and whatever it happens to be, just part of the home automation. But I did read that article that says that in Sonos's defense, right, they need a reason to get people to migrate from the older generation hardware to the newer generation hardware. And so to do that, they give a discount, like a 30% discount, if you trade in your old Sonos 5 for a new Sonos 5, then we'll give you 30% off. You get the latest technology, comes with some added benefits and features and that sort of stuff. But the problem is, and what people are starting to complain about, is that when you do, in order to get that 30% discount, you have to put it into recycle mode, which Sonos says takes the device, powers it down, and gets it ready to be taken to a recycling facility, which in and of itself sounds awesome, sounds great, good for you, way to be, you know, pro-earth, pro-environment, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. The problem is that some people are saying, well, the device still works. Why don't you hand it down to somebody else, you know, who maybe doesn't need the latest and greatest, or why don't you resell it, or why don't you use it in maybe a less used room rather than throwing it away or recycling it altogether? Because obviously during the recycle process, there is still some loss of product, right? Not everything can be recycled. But unfortunately, when you put it into recycle mode, it bricks it completely.
Right,
there is no bringing
it back. Renders it unusable.
21 days while it goes through, or it goes through this process for 21 days, and then at the end of it, it becomes completely unusable. It can't be brought back to life by Sonos or by yourself. It is a worthless hunk of metal and plastic, and a lot of people are saying they shouldn't be doing that because it's you know, that's worse for the environment than actually just the idea of throwing them away when they do break.
So there's a guy, his Twitter handle is Atomic Thumbs, and he works at an e-recycling facility, and I'm going to read this quote because this is fairly amazing. Quote: "This is the most environmentally." I just had a pop-up happen over my screen there. "This is the most environmentally unfriendly abuse and waste of a perfectly good hardware I've seen in the 5 years working at a recycler. We could have sold these and ensured they were reused, as we do with all the working electronics we're able. Now we have to scrap them." Mm-hmm. So, so they're saying basically these things are still worth $200-$250. But they just bricked it.
Right. Well, and it's not even really the value, not the monetary value, right? It's just the fact that the company is forcing a device to become unusable for their gain, whereas which then requires someone who might have purchased that at a lower price or might have been given by somebody else to have to go out and buy another device, which just causes more and more purchasing of devices that might not have
been
necessary.
And if this were a throwaway kind of a product,
right,
you know, this might not be so bad. But this is a premium,
right,
sound system that, yep, still sounds wonderful.
And I mentioned the Play 5 because I have an older style older model Play 5 that I haven't upgraded to because I don't feel that the benefits are worth it there. So I'm one of those people who, if that device were to become bricked, I would, you know, be pretty upset. Not you have to manually put it into that recycle mode, and it's not something they do on their own. But it's certainly something that I would like to use maybe in a garage or a gift to a relative or something, because they're still good, high quality, sound good, functional devices.
Yeah. Well, I think we've given that enough time. Speaking of devices, we did have a text message, and I, like a lot of folks, I think, received an Amazon Dot for Christmas, and they're worried about privacy. I think duly so.
Absolutely. I think we have yet to see what is going to come of all this. I think we're going to have to wait until there's a breach before all of the information comes out. At this point, the various manufacturers, whether it's that Amazon device or a Google device or whatever it happens to be, are telling you that they are doing their best to keep your information private. If they're worried about the type of privacy where their information is being stored in the cloud, that's one thing. If they're worried about the type of privacy of the devices constantly listening to them and maybe privy to personal conversations, that's another thing as well. And right now we're at the mercy of believing what the manufacturers are saying. I don't know that any one of them is any more trustworthy than others. Do you have an opinion on?
I think all I've heard is platitudes from, CEOs and SVPs and whatever, sales vice presidents and other things about, they're making sure that there's, that privacy is the number one thing, blah, blah, blah. They're putting new privacy measures in place, but I don't know if that's enough for everybody. I'm trying to remember. I've got a Dot and I've got a Google Home device in my office, and I don't remember which one has the button on the bottom. You can just switch off the mic. I can't remember which one that
is. Well, the Dot does. Dot has a mic, has a mute.
Okay.
I don't know about the Google device.
I think it may as well. So if you're super worried about conversations that you may be having with friends and family, they're harder. You can just unplug it too.
Right.
I mean, that's one thing. But
the only thing I was going to say is that rest assured that if you have a Dot and you're worried about it listening to you, rest assured you already have other things listening to you. Your smartphone, for example, is the prime example. That was the thing that came out. That was the YouTube video, right, where Facebook was showing ads based off of things that people had just talked about, right? So I guess my only insight into this or contribution to this is that it's probably already being done, realize it or not. I don't want to bring cynicism into the new year, right? But it's probably already happening, and a Dot is probably, I wouldn't say like your first foray into this territory. You've probably already been living in this world for, maybe a year or two now, and you're just now kind of realizing it, right?
And I think the first step really is to recognize that there are some privacy implications, right? So that if you're aware of and you're cognizant of the fact that, I have this new device in here, whether it's my phone or it's my Dot or my Google device or whatever it happens to be, maybe when it's time to have a conversation that you really don't want anybody else hearing, then you hit that mute button or you put that phone away or you, go outside to the park, for goodness, for lack of other places to be.
Sure. So here's what I'll recommend. you've got an app for this, your Alexa app.
Oh, right.
Go into the settings. You're bringing it up right now. Is it in the menu up there, the little, doesn't it? The weird-looking hamburger. Yeah, it is.
Yep.
So at the bottom of the little menu that's on the top left, there's a settings, and you can review. All the way at the bottom of that is privacy, Alexa privacy, and you can review your voice history. You can do other things. There are some settings in there. So if you're concerned, and obviously you are, go in and You're chuckling.
Well, the last couple of things that it heard me say was, Alexa, snooze. Apparently, I was using it as a timer at the time.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I would review that policy in your app. And there's a couple little switches you can flip. There's some check boxes you can check. And just go through that and see if that'll ease your mind a little bit. And go from there, because this, you know, privacy and devices, we're getting flooded and flooded and flooded. There's the Ring doorbell thing that's going around right now. Is it Xtomi? How do you pronounce the camera manufacturer that hooks up with that as well?
Oh.
Is just showing these cameras are just showing up on random people's Google Amazon shows are just showing you random security cameras in people's houses and in their garages and in their yards and so they're having to go ahead and shut down some of these devices from some of these manufacturers. This is going to be a while before they get this all figured out and get it locked down, because if you remember when the Internet of Things took off, there wasn't anything. It was the wild, wild west as far as security goes. Oh. Because to put security measures into your Internet of Things devices, that was going to cost more money.
Well, and it's still the wild west because of the popularity of these devices that are maybe a little more on the premium side, like a Ring or a Nest or something like that, and the cheap knockoffs that are coming across the planet from, you know, other side, from China and that sort of those areas, are even less secure than these more premium products, but they're cheaper, and so people are more likely to purchase those. And again, a lot of the onus goes on to the person who owns the device to make sure you change the default password, make sure you are putting it into like a guest network so that it doesn't have access to your home computer. Ooh. And your financial information.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, we could do a whole story on that, just that. But making sure you put it into, I try to take all of my IoT things, put them into a guest network where they're isolated by themselves. They only need access to the internet and nothing else on my network. In some cases, that doesn't work, but in a lot of cases, it does, and it makes things more secure.
Hmm.
Yeah, and just, I was just going to say, just to add too, like these companies, it's usually cheaper to get hit with a fine than it is to implement the changes right away. That's the mentality, right?
Yep.
Oh, I don't like hearing that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'd love to take more listener questions and comments. We have some other things on the docket today. We want to talk a little about some CES previews, because this Consumer Electronics Show is coming up shortly, and all eyes are on tech at that point. But we will do all of that after this quick break. You are in the moment on SDPB Radio. It's Tech Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, and we are talking tech with the computer guys. We are taking your questions and comments about the tech in your life. We would love to hear from you. Send your questions by emailing them to inthemoment@sdpb.org. Shoot us a text. It's 956-SDPB. That's 956-7372. Well, I've been reading about the Consumer Electronics Show and some previews and things. It'll be here shortly on our doorstep. And boy, I think last year the big thing was VR, virtual reality, and AR, augmented reality, were the big two-headed dragon that consumed CES. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of that on the radar screen from some of these folks that are doing previews. They're talking, we just talked about privacy and security.
Mm-hmm.
They've been raising red flags for years about the way tech companies have been kind of going crazy with data and the security in their platforms. So they're looking to have an impact, or CES is, on the way vendors market their products. So that's going to be interesting. People are going to pay attention.
And that's good. That's something that we really shouldn't ever let drop, right? Because once we do, then the problems are only going to come back bigger and badder than they are today as far as security and privacy go. The AR and VR stuff, I wish for all the hype that it's had in the last, 5 years, right? I mean, it's just been a ton. I wish there were more things that were using it. Now, one thing I saw the other day, which was pretty cool, which was AR, Mercedes has a new infotainment system, I guess they call them these days, where you get the standard. You get the standard navigation that comes up on the screen. Mm-hmm. But in the new Mercedes-Benz, as you approach like a corner, using the cameras on the outside of the car, it shows you in real time, here's the corner, and then it draws an arrow up and shows where to turn. So that if you're in a crowded area where there might be multiple intersections, is it here? Is it the next one? Is it the next one? It actually shows you in real time, here's where you're going to turn left or here's where you're going to turn right, et cetera. And it uses that augmented reality of the real time image along with the animated screens and arrows and that sort of stuff. So I thought that was an interesting use of it. I just haven't seen any other real world examples outside of Pokemon type kind of events, right? Yeah.
That was when it really got started, right?
Yeah. That was the big one. You would think as long ago as Pokemon craze was, there would be some new useful in my everyday kind of life AR. Maybe I'm just missing it. I don't know. Do you have any?
I don't. And here's the question, I guess, is have they really settled on a thing? On a hardware device that you strap onto your head. Have we settled on a standard and a technology, and are people pumping those out in a price point that the people like me, I don't have to stick, white balls all over my room or have, on sticks or what, something that a guy like me can just put on my head and just do. Mm-hmm. Have we reached that point that there's not massive cables coming off of me into a PC that's got, three or four of these video cards that are all SLI ganged together? And, has the technology sort of settled? That's my question.
Well, and I was just going to say that, people use AR probably almost every day with just their cameras on their devices. If Instagram, Snapchat, they have the filters there. True. Now, yeah. Facebook as well. Yeah. Yeah. And so you do kind of see it every day. It is kind of one of those things where it's maybe hidden in plain sight. And I really was hoping, just an aside to the Mercedes thing, I was hoping Pokemon was going to make a mention into that, because I think you're right, Kent. I think that was everyone's first kind of, oh wow, this is like a thing, and it's very useful, and people are gathering to participate in these activities. And it's really cool to see Mercedes. I really do think the innovation that we're going to see is going to come from the business sector. They're going to come up with new ways for us to use this stuff, and it looks like Mercedes is coming up with some pretty good ideas. I could see how that'd be very useful.
After you mentioned the Snapchat, that made me think of, I saw a commercial the other day for, and I'm gonna butcher this name, but is it Warby Parker or something like that? The eyeglasses. Yeah. And they're using that Snapchat type AR, where using your phone, you can try on different styles of glasses, right? So instead of taking and making your face into a pirate, now they're going to take legitimate physical products that you can purchase and put them on, and you can try on glasses remotely, which is why, which might make purchasing glasses over the internet difficult, right? Because you got no idea, do they look good on me? Do they fit, etc.? That sort of AR technology is very useful. And I had forgotten, I'd just seen that commercial, I don't know, probably in the last week or so.
Right. And I'd agree that would extend to a lot of different consumer products, right? You could do that if you want a new roof for your house or a new interior in your house. I could see that, Apple on your phone, you get this measuring device where you just pull up the camera and it'll actually measure things for you. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, it's like a laser measuring kind of a thing, yeah.
Right. And, cars seem like a natural, type of product to integrate some of this technology into.
Yeah, there's the nerd in me thinking I need all this hardware, and it's already in my pocket.
Right.
Yeah, it's already there. that's very interesting. I can imagine the... Can you think if they integrated the Pokemon into the Mercedes and all of a sudden they just pop up little characters in the lane you're not supposed to be in, or you know, little roadblocks?
Could be.
I saw an announcement of a motorcycle helmet with AR built in, that integrated mapping, kind of heads up display, but could also show you what's behind you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to crank your head all the way around to look behind you. You can just look at that part of the screen. The touch controls for volume and different things of devices, and obviously it Bluetooths with your phone or your motorcycle, if your motorcycle's got it in a lot of cases nowadays. But it can Bluetooth with anything and answer calls or listen to music or whatever. You know, obviously, it's a full-face helmet. It's got noise dampening as far as, you know, loud sounds goes. So that's kind of nice, a little hearing protection. Mm-hmm. But that's... I've seen versions of this out in the past, and they've been very cost prohibitive. So I'm wondering if these newer ones are going to come in and be more affordable.
And that's really, I think, what it's going to take is that affordability, and then the ability for it to have a ubiquitous kind of application where you don't have to be a motorcycle rider, or you don't have to be in the market for sunglasses, or you don't have to, you know, be one specific segment of the population. That's where all of the beta testing, as I was talking about a few weeks ago, you know, that we're doing with the voice commands to the Alexas and the Googles and that sort of stuff, we're really just beta testing that software for them, right? We're using it to turn on our Christmas lights or to, you know, turn down the stereo or whatever it is. But as that technology improves, as we test this stuff for them, it'll start be putting into, you know, more... higher end applications that perform more functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we need from AR. We need something that is more available to the masses so that the testing and the bugs can be worked out so that we can then start putting it into larger and more critical applications.
So I read an article, I think I've got it written down here, but he's one of the main guys at Facebook. I think he's at chief technology or chief researcher or something at Facebook, is saying it's going to take 5 to 10 years to get the glasses all worked out. That before the mass adoption of AR and VR in glasses, so the Google Glass thing really takes off with the masses. Now that 5 to 10 years, that's a long time. I think that's a long time. But he's saying the battery technology and the kind of the physical hardware parts of it aren't going to be there for a few more years. They need to work on that some more, but we'll see that coming up. I'm, you know, in my old age, I'm looking forward to help, you know, mm-hmm. what can you show me is out there that I can't see, or what can you clarify for me, or, you know, what can I hear better now?
Yeah, I was just going to jump in. I really agree with you, Kent, on that, because I think that really where, I mean, and I'm interested because the cross-section between, you know, humanities and technology, right, which is what we're talking about, is really just finding that widespread use case. And I almost wonder if the breakthrough with AR specifically is going to come in a medical capacity. I mean, you think about, like, the iWatch, for example, right? It's like... a lot of people, when it first came out, just thought of it as this like vanity product. Google Glass too. The first version of Google Glass failed horribly. You know, it had some really big tech guys behind it. I think Peter Thiel was behind it, right, and a couple other people. And you know, it didn't do well, right, because nobody found the practical use case for it. So you must wonder if there's like a medical component that will, you know, be adopted, and all of a sudden people start saying, "Hey, yeah, this is a really good idea." Similar to the Apple Watch, right? They're doing all this stuff with like heart stuff now, right? Where it's like measuring all of your vitals, and I think you know, Fitbit's moving into this territory as well. And so you think there's got to be some AR use cases for AR in that capacity. And vision, I think, is the no brainer.
Yeah, you know, health and wellness is that thing at CES, since we're talking about it, that really took over nearly half of one of their pavilions with the newest and most innovative types of, oh boy, things that help you eat better, sleep better, exercise more, those monitors for your health and wellness. I mean, you know, the whole Fitbit craze and everything, but you're right. It's that and the connected clothing and the so the what the what people are starting to call, and here's the new catchphrase or whatever, is called ambient computing. Mm-hmm. It's the jargony name for the technology that's blended into our lives, you know, in very subtle ways. We had to sit down at a mouse and a keyboard in the past, and I'm still stuck on that, obviously, mm-hmm. from talking about VR. Now with the smartphone in your pocket and your the thing on your wrist and maybe that piece of clothing you slip on or whatever, the traditional surfaces turn into touchscreens, and, you know... So that's going to be huge as well.
Yeah, the other thing I was reading about CES too is the fact that we are becoming more and more reliant on these boutique services that provide things to you that you can subscribe to, and they just kind of show up. And in some cases, there's clothing subscriptions, right, where clothing shows up. But we also have these meal kits that show up, and we also have all kinds of things that you can get as a service. Where using the technology, you're able to make the subscription, you're able to edit things and return things and that sort of stuff, and just to make our lifestyles that much easier, things that we think of like Lyft and Uber and that sort of stuff are becoming everyday usable kinds of things. How many more of those are going to be coming along? What services will we see in the next 2-3 years? Be interesting to see what comes out of CES this year.
I can't believe the adoption of the meal delivery services and things. Mm-hmm. It's got to be crazy because of the commercials I'm seeing. Every restaurant commercial, and then commercials for places that if the restaurant doesn't have delivery, they'll go pick it up for you and drop it off.
Oh, right. You're talking about like a Grubhub. Or,
yeah. Those two.
Yeah, those two are amazing.
I would never think of this. Yep. I've been a more find what's in the freezer and in the refrigerator, and that's what's for supper kind of a guy. Got a person I talk to pretty regularly, lives in Winnipeg. Every meal he eats is delivered to his house. I mean, he knows all these delivery people by their first name, you know. But everything he does is delivered to him from a restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he eats some of the finest food in the city on a regular basis, doesn't leave his apartment.
And those are, you know, they have those with the pre-made food. I was thinking of the food services where, like the Blue Apron or the mm-hmm. HelloFresh, yep. where they send you the ingredients and you can make them at home, right? And sometimes it shows up even with extra tools that you need to, maybe it's a particular spatula or whatever it happens to be. But yeah, lots of services is what I've read is coming from CES this
year.
The
dog that resides in my house has a regular package that shows up every month.
Chewy?
Well, there's that one. There's that one too, but there is, yeah, BarkBox.
Nice.
And yeah, the look in his face when that box shows up, you know.
He knows.
He knows. Yeah, he knows. So, yeah, these are all areas that are fairly new to most of us. So
speaking of making people's lives easier, I just wanted to talk about the thing that I'm most excited about with CES. And that is, without question, the Segway S-Pod. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, yeah, the wheelchair sort of egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Segway saying, hey, if you didn't think that our little two-wheel devices were cool enough, we have an actual chair for you now. You don't even have to stand, okay? It goes 24 miles an hour, right? So I'm reading. I was trying to find videos on it. I couldn't. But this is crazy. It's pretty much a hover chair. And you can just zip around, do it.
Does it say what the distance limitation is?
I'm not sure, right? I'm sure we'll find out.
You can fit some pretty big batteries in that thing, you know. If it's a chair, so I saw that couch as kind of a wheelchair replacement or for people with limited mobility. But you know, you could certainly see people zipping around, you know, Epcot and. You know, Disney and whatever in these things.
The only experience I have with a Segway was I went to Washington, D.C. and took the Segway tour of all of the different monuments and that sort of stuff. And that was a really fun, unique use of that technology. But considering that Segway came out in 2001, I believe, and at the time they said this was going to revolutionize cities. We were going to change the way sidewalks and roads were built.
All the cops are going to be on them.
Absolutely. Yeah. that hasn't happened yet. I wish it had. I really do. I'd like to see it used in more more applications, but maybe this egg-shaped recliner style is going to be more helpful, especially if you can get the speed and the distance out of it, and maybe some sort of carrying capacity, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably not, right? But to me, it's just great. I just love that there's innovation in this, you know. It's thinking about the things that, you know, I thought about when I was in, you know, kindergarten, right? Like, oh, I wish this chair moved for me, and, you know. But the other thing I was going to say is, like, there is kind of a business aspect to it, because if you think about the Segway's close cousin, which is the Bird scooters, I mean, and this is usually in, like, larger markets. I'm not – maybe they're in Sioux Falls. They're definitely not in Rapid City, but you can rent
Omaha.
These –
Yeah.
They're in Omaha. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You almost wonder if there's some kind of commercial component there where it is kind of like an optional thing. Because, you know, Bird is pretty useful. You just walk up to a Bird on a side of a street and you just scan the barcode and then you can use it for whenever. You almost wonder if there's a similar, you know, Segway type program that could be implemented.
Well, maybe we should explain that a little bit. For those that aren't familiar with Bird, that's a two-wheel scooter that is got power to it. That you can walk up and then you, like you said, you scan the code, you use your, just like an
catch
Uber.
Catch the bird.
You yeah. catch the bird. You can take that scooter then anywhere you need to go, and then you just leave it wherever you stop. And then overnight, that service comes around, collects them, brings them back to generalized central locations. They're generally pretty close to you.
They're supposed to.
And I guess I ran into them most recently in Kansas City, and they were everywhere. You couldn't go a block and a half without finding one that was available. Of course, when we have 11 inches of snow out, it's difficult to ride a scooter, but in a lot of markets, it would be super helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And getting back to the egg, I was just thinking, what if there were, because we're starting to see Harley-Davidson announce their electric bike. I think it's called the E-Wire. Or the Wire, I think. I can't recall right now. I should know. But it's going to have a battery module in it, and obviously Elon Musk has all his cars and the wall device and things like that. I'm wondering if there's if they're going to make a pack of some kind that I'm going to go use my egg or whatever. I'm going to plug this in, or I'm going to go be on my scooter today or on my, you know, whatever, if they're going to be interchangeable enough to be able to do that. And if, you know, if you had any kind of the range of the Harley Davidson or of the Tesla or anything like that in this chair, it's going to go forever, I would think, because of the weight and would be significantly less.
Are you saying we're going to see eggs at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally?
you can see anything at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Anyway.
I don't disagree.
Anyway, on that note, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about probably one of the more surprising things that they're predicting about CES, but it's really nothing new, but it is, and we'll talk about that after this. We are back in the moment on SDPB Radio. It's Tech Radio, and we're talking tech with the computer guys. I wasn't going to go back to this egg thing or this, but Segway. In looking at it's not it's Segway, but it's not really an egg thing. In looking at it, it's like a big recliner. 43 miles.
That's what this article says. That up to 43 miles on a charge.
So there you go, Craig.
It's outstanding. It's outstanding.
I expect that next time I'm in Rapid City to see you out cruising around on, you know, going down St. Pat on this thing.
Yeah, 24 miles an hour, I think, right? What I said?
That's going to be plenty for just hanging it all out there in the wind like you are on that thing.
Well, and they're saying
that. And basically pushing an office chair down the road at 24 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, at that speed, I hope there's a seatbelt, because if you need to come to an abrupt stop, the egg might, but you probably won't.
Yeah, yeah. This inertia, yeah, the law of, Well, anyhow, we'll watch for that. I wonder, do they have a price point on it? I'm just spitballing it here. Okay. So one of the other big predictions was they're going to talk about streaming and cord cutting. And I'm thinking, streaming and cord cutting, we've been talking about this for a very, very long time. I mean, in excess of 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. We've been pounding away on streaming and cord cutting, but when you think about it, you look at all the services, the streaming services that have been popping up. You know, most recently, the largest, you know, talking about eggs that have dropped on people is the Disney Plus app.
Mini Yoda.
I mean, I just got done watching Mandalorian. The 8 episodes that are out and
it was very good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, and not just because of Mini Yoda, but it continues to spread out the number of apps that are on my Roku now with Hulu. And because of Hulu Live and Netflix and Prime and BritBox and MLB. And I mean, you start getting into sports, it starts getting a little nutty.
Yeah, I found myself being frustrated the other day because it was, I can't figure out what service this show is on. And then it turns out to be, oh, I don't have that service. So, you know, am I really going to spend $19 to $49 a month for every service so that I can make sure I can see every latest show.
How frustrating is that going to be? It's, particularly the price point on Disney is not, you know, it's not cheap.
Right.
When the reason you cut the cord to begin with was, hey, this is going to save us a ton of money because we can just pick and choose the things that we want. All of a sudden, we've picked everything. And
yeah, I was going to say, it's like we kind of deconstructed, you know, cable to begin with, right? Like cable's like, hey, let's just group everything together. And then it's almost like you see these execs at like DirecTV. They're like, that's what we've been doing this whole time. We grouped everything together, made it cheaper for you. And now you're just buying it piecemeal and it's becoming more expensive, right? Because how much is Netflix plus Amazon Prime plus, you know, Disney plus Hulu, right? And now they're coming up with new ones, DAZN, right? That's the that's like a sports app, right, where you can purchase and watch live sports content as well. And it is becoming expensive. I mean, I have all of them, right? I pay all of those bills, and yeah, they just kind of chip away at you, but it all kind of adds up, you know, over the course of the month.
Some of the interesting ones, Quibi is coming out. It's kind of a millennials thing. It's entertainment and news and things kind of in a nutshell. They get tossed at you, and it's very easy little nuggets to consume. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big names behind that one. NBC Universal is bringing out the Peacock streaming service. There was a promo for, it's the latest Picard series,
and Star Trek.
Only available through streaming from CBS, I think.
Yeah, I think that's just a quick thing on that. I really do think that the winner of the streaming wars or whatever that we're entering is going to be the exclusive content, whoever gets the best exclusive content.
Huh. Well, yeah, it seems like everybody's got a dog in this fight.
Well, and it seems like everybody's got at least one show that makes, you know, is super popular and everybody's talking about, have you seen? And so if it's that one show that's on Hulu, and whether or not you're willing to subscribe to Hulu for that one show, now all of a sudden you're back to where you were before. It's like, I just want to watch my news channels, but you're making me pay for golf, right? That was the argument against cable TV.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to watch The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, but now you're making me pay for The Simpsons.
Well, I'm guilty. Game of Thrones went out and grabbed HBO. I still subscribe to HBO, but Game of Thrones hasn't been on for, well, we're going on a year now, right? So, it's going to be interesting to see. There's going to be a mass of all this, and
I wouldn't be surprised if some of these starting to becoming gobbled up, right? They start to consolidate, one buys another, so that all of a sudden now you've got, because I don't know how long this many distinct services, all of which have a lot of overlap to them, right? A lot of the generic kind of big services, the NBC, CBS, ABCs, those sorts of things, you can get out a lot of these services, but there's a lot of overlap for shows. How long can that survive without having that one unique show that
and when
wants.
You talk about services, that's a whole nother layer. So then you've got the Apple TV, you got the Fire TV, you've got the Roku. So there's that. There's the whole level and the whole sub-level of technology depending on what kind of manufacturer your TV is or the box you hook to your TV, or do you just bring up an app on your phone? It's and that's good enough for some. This is going to get ugly, but it's going to be ugly in an interesting way where, we might be frustrated. You have to go out and find, how do I stream this? I think that's an actual website, or where do I stream this, or is this streamable? There's a website for that where it just basically tells you season one through whatever is over here, season whatever through whoever is over here, or you can buy it here.
One of the things that I heard being bantered about the other day was the fact that there were some people who were very sad that Friends was being removed from Netflix, right?
Yeah, so, my mom. Was that my mom? Are you listening to that conversation?
It could be. But those are the types of conversations that we're at now, is that these shows on these streaming services are not available. And then when they do move around like that, how are you supposed to have any sort of consistency?
Very interesting. Well, go ahead,
the
Greg.
Thing I was gonna, one more thing I was gonna add is that I do ultimately think this is going to be a positive thing. We are in a golden age of content right now. Even Apple's making TV shows, right? And I think that the consumer is gonna win because it will end up being cheaper. Because who owns all of these accounts? And doesn't share them, right? I have been using my brother's Netflix account since Netflix. You could get the DVDs in the mail. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's.
Are you sure you
want to
go on radio and say that?
Well, I think they just came out and allowed it, right? I think you can do that now. Netflix was saying that. I don't know. Don't get me in trouble, Kent.
No, they could. You're right. The terms of service on these different services are different. Right. You just have to know what it is. I ran into on Hulu, tried to bring up on my phone, bring up the Hulu service that is. Legit being paid for in my house. And it said, you need to bring up this app at home because it's been over 30 days since you've done that. And that was its verification. It's got you actually need to be on your home network where you're paying for your Hulu account from, and sign in on your phone so that it knows, I'm home. Can't give this out to somebody else and go off to Tierra del Fuego and use my Hulu account for the rest of your life. So the technology is being built in so that folks can't do that, and that's just more money in their pocket. But it's going to shake out, and it's going to be interesting when it does. But we'll all bask in the glory of the great content, and until that happens, and even after, we'll see who gets bought up and who doesn't. But We will know at a later day. That's unfortunately all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank our panelists. Thank you, Amos. Thank you, Craig. And
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. We will see you in 2 weeks.